Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for This Week in Tech is provided by AOL Radio at AOL.com/podcasting. This is TWiT, This Week in Tech, episode 139 for April 20th, 2008. For TWiT. This Week in Tech is brought to you by GoToMeeting. Stop wasting time and money on meeting in person. Hold your meetings online. You could do more and travel less. For a free trial, visit gotomeeting.com/twit. And by Audible and AudibleKids.com. For your free Audible book, visit audible.com/twit. And whether you're a member or not, for free kids books, visit audiblekids.com/twit. And by listeners like you. Thanks for your donations. Oh, we got a great panel today, and I don't even know where to start, but I'll tell you what, we'll introduce our special guest last. But you heard him, John C. Dvorak at Dvorak.org/blog. Hello, John.
Hello. I'm also a Twitterer now.
Boy, are you a Twitterer. When he started Twittering, it's The Real Dvorak, by the way. So it's twitter.com/TheRealDvorak. You've already got 5,000 followers in a week.
And it's really exciting stuff, too.
I'm sorry, are there fake Dvoraks?
Yeah, there's a John C. Dvorak that's a fake, and there's another Dvorak that's a fake, so I'm the real Dvorak. And, I figure I'm moving up the ladder. It's not like I need to have a million people following the thing, but it's kind of good to get into the point where you have enough people that you can actually solicit them for, information.
It can be really useful. I mean, when you get up to in the thousands, it's a broadcast medium. All of a sudden, you can reach a lot of people very quickly. I ask questions all the time on there. But you get it. You're doing interesting content. You're giving them value for their buck, unlike others who just, use it as a chat room.
Yeah, well, I use it kind of as a chat room in a kind of a meta sense, because people ask me questions, and so I chat with them kind of back and forth through the replies or whatever. But generally speaking, when I just post, I don't post just my mundane daily life, which is, like everybody else. I ate a cheese sandwich.
Yeah.
Just when I see something really cool that I think they should know about, I'll let them know.
Well, this is not going to be This Week in Twitter. But everybody.
And by the way, that's another thing. I promised all these people I wouldn't talk about it.
I know. Thank you for starting it off on a high note. By the way, speaking of a high note, well, I'll talk about that in a second. Also here, another Twitterer, at Veronica. She's Veronica Belmont, or should I say Veronica Velmont, the new host of Techzilla.
Yay.
You threw me. I didn't think you would do that. I thought, when I heard you left Mahalo, everybody said, she's going to Techzilla. I said, why would she do that? She wouldn't leave Mahalo to go to Techzilla, because that's kind of a lateral move. Was it really about being in LA and stuff like that, or?
Yeah, there was a lot to it. I mean, I wanted to do more in tech, and I wanted to be in San Francisco regularly, which was starting to become a problem. But it's not just Techzilla. I mean, Techzilla is a day a week or so, a little more, counting all the work that we put into it. But there will be another project that I'm announcing hopefully soon. That's more my full-time job.
Give us a hint. Mainstream media, I think.
I can't give any hints.
See, this was my supposition was she's not going to leave Mahalo to go to Techzilla. That's lateral. She's going to take a mainstream job. She's going to CNN.
No, it's not CNN. It's not really a mainstream thing. You'll see. Don't worry.
Right. Hey, Veronica, are you watching the video? Because if you are, turn it off, because I think it's kind of hitting your...
I'm not, actually.
Oh, okay. Is there anything else going on there? Well, let me introduce the rest while we figure it out. Paul Thurrott is also here from our Windows Weekly show. The author of the Supersite for Windows, winsupersite.com. Hey, Paul.
Hey, how you doing?
Have we ever had you on TWiT before?
Yeah, it's a long time ago.
Okay. But well, it's about time we got you back.
A year and a half, I don't know.
It's about time we got you back.
I ignore your invitations. Actually, I don't see him until after it's too late.
That's why. Well, you don't work on the weekends. Now let me introduce our special guest, because he has been on TWiT once before. We did a TWiT from the Apple Store a long time ago. Roger McGuinn, the co-founder of The Birds and an absolute, utter tech geek from his home in Florida. Hey, Roger.
Hi.
Hey, Leo. It was Twit 21, and it was really a thrill. It was great. And you had the same problem back then with your multiple inputs with Adobe Audition, as I recall.
Yeah, it's inevitable. In fact, this is, as the third anniversary of Twit, it is only fitting that we should have all sorts of technical issues, because that's basically been the story of Twit from day one.
So is it recording all the tracks now?
Yeah, we're doing fine. I always have a back. I've learned one thing from these many years. Always have a backup.
But it's not a multi-channel backup, right?
Yeah, but you know, the truth
technology
is...
technology will never fail us.
Yeah, most of the time, all we end up doing is mixing it down anyway. It's, you know, it's almost like, why bother recording it?
Right, right.
Multi-track. That's just too fancy for me.
It would be a lot of work to take all those inputs and moderate them.
Yeah, I used to try to do that. That's crazy. Mm. You use the same program. In fact, I think you're using the new Audition, right?
I'm a beta tester I think it's out now, the Audition 3.0.
Right.
And it's got some good bells and whistles, and they pretty much copied Pro Tools down the line, you know, with the moving faders and all the good stuff.
Oh, really? So do you have it hooked up to a mixer with flying faders?
No, I don't. It does it on the screen. I'm not really into having a control surface. I think that's just for the old timers who need that.
Right. And you're not an old timer.
Not when it comes to, no, I'm kind of a new engineer.
Cool?
I used to watch the old guys, but I was never, one time I got kicked out of the Columbia Records studio for moving a pot, you know, doing a board fade, and the union guys just walked out on me. They said, that's it, you know, not allowed to touch the equipment.
You know, it's still that way in some places. When I do Regis and Kelly, I'm not supposed to unpack my own boxes. The grips come over and say, oh, that's a local 53's job. Right. And you're not allowed to do so much stuff, you know. It's really weird.
Well, unions are good for some people.
Hey, I'm pro labor, but sometimes unions do themselves in by being a little too much feather bedding and a little kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Roger has, in fact, we'll put this link on our show notes. He has designed his own solar ice machine, and they did a story on him in the local TV. It's really great. You use a solar panel to make ice.
Right. I've got four solar panels, four deep cycle batteries, and a couple of inverters, and an ice machine that runs on this. And the idea is that we get these hurricanes here in Florida, knocks the power out, and it's usually in the hot weather, so you want to stay cool. And we thought, well, we can run electric fans and an ice maker. It'd be cool.
I only mention this to give you geek cred.
All right.
Which he has, because he also runs. You run your computers and stuff on solar.
I'm running all the laptops and cell phones and all the little stuff. You know, all the things that you plug in with a wall wart.
That's cool.
Runs off the solar stuff.
So speaking of touching pots in the studio, this is 420. You know, you all know what that means, Veronica. I know you know what that means.
What's that supposed to mean?
Well, you're a young person. You're hip. You're with it. You're cool.
Sure.
Did you know?
If you think I'm that cool, that's great.
Did you know that the 420, which is a day that stoners use, in fact, there are usually, I remember in Toronto last year, the year before, they get together like in some public space and publicly flaunt the laws. Although in Toronto, it's like, ooh, what are they going to, the Mounties are going to slap you. It's not exactly illegal in Toronto, but they get together and they all smoke pot in public because 420 day. But this came, I didn't know this. Dane told me, our senior producer here, Dane Golden, said this started at San Rafael High just down the road in 1971. The kids would all leave class at 420 p.m. to toke up at the Louis Pasteur statue. And that's where the name 420 comes from.
Really? Okay. I always heard it was like the police code or something.
Yeah, and I went to Snopes.com, and it's not.
All right.
Although, weirdly enough, in 2004, Arnold Schwarzenegger passed Senate Bill 2004 in California, regulating the legal pot sales in California, the you know, medicinal marijuana stuff. That was SB 420. But that was many years later. Anyway, all right, enough of that. Let's start talking tech, because there's a lot of stories in the news today. I hear you, Veronica, but I also hear little beeps coming out of you.
Really? I'm not doing anything.
Maybe it's me. Could be me. Federal officials charge a California woman stealing ideas from the dead. So here's a nice little twist. The Department of Commerce, under the Freedom of Information Act, puts out a database of dead people. It's called the Monthly Death Index. And the idea of it, it has the birth dates and social security numbers of people who have died.
Wow.
The theory is it goes to banks and lending institutions so they can, you know, cross them off the records. But this woman, Tracy June Kirkland, is charged with going to rootsweb.com, which is a genealogy site, accessing this database, and then calling the credit card company saying, "Oh, yes, do you still have my account open? I've moved." And we'll give them a new address. Sometimes she'll even add her own name to the credit card as a authorized user. She scammed hundreds of credit cards this way, including Nordstrom's, Macy's, and GE Money Bank.
That's amazing. Boy. I love how it's actually supposed to prevent people from committing fraud.
Yeah.
And instead, it's basically opened up the door for her to
get
a lot of money out of
it. It's on Web, but it is public information. And it's only because these lenders don't do anything. They just ignore it.
But they caught her, right?
Yeah, she's going to, well, she might go to jail if convicted.
Accident.
Probably.
She should have moved to the Cayman Islands or something.
Is that where you stash your money?
He wishes.
Yeah. I didn't hear a denial there.
It's a good place to put it, I hear.
So the banks don't do anything about it because the banks are a bunch of sleazeball weasels, and they just as soon make their life easier by overcharging everybody else at a rate of 18%+ on the card, which is the only reason you're paying those exorbitant fees, by the way.
Yeah, it's easier just to overcharge and not worry about the losses. I got my credit card canceled. They called me up and said, "You just buy something in Australia and then buy something in the U.S.?" And I said, "Yeah, actually, as a matter of fact, I was just in Australia. Now I'm back." And they still canceled the card.
Yeah, oh, too late. Sorry, we already canceled it. Yeah.
What card was this, Leo?
It's a Visa.
Oh, because you know I don't want to start plugging things, but I only use American Express because we don't want to get into debt to these other companies, and American Express makes you pay every month.
Yeah, so, you're right.
But they do, you know, they have. In fact, I'll bring this. I think I've talked about this before, but they have a very good computer program, and they know I travel a lot. And right. I've always been shocked at like showing up out of the blue after getting a tank full of gas in Munich.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then I'm someplace else, and they never bother me, yeah, except once in a while. I mean, they do, but it's always, you know, in a very awkward situation or something weird, and I never had the card pulled. But I was at a lecture one time where the CEO or one of the top guys at American Express was there, and I think I've blogged this and I've talked about it before, and it's actually a good thing to test. He said they've got so many models that they can tell, spot a stolen credit card rather quickly, and he says the one that you will always get a card pulled, or you know, you'll have your card stopped on the spot, is the following scenario that anyone out there can try, and you'll see it works.
Oh, great.
You get two tanks full of gas in a row, and then go buy some Nike shoes.
So you fill up your SUV, fill up your caddy, and then go buy some Nike shoes.
Well, actually, no, the thing is they found that a lot of kids who are like, scammers who have these cards, the first thing they do is they fill up their gas tank and their buddies.
Right.
And maybe another one because they got the card, and then they go buy it, but they start buying shoes.
Somebody said that the gas thing is how they can test it because just seems like I just had this conversation. They could test it because then they can get away if, you know, the merchant comes out and says, "Hey, wait a minute," they just drive off.
Mm.
It makes sense though. And of course, two tanks of gas would be a little suspicious. I mean, who buys two tanks of gas in a row?
Yeah.
That makes sense.
I do sometimes because I have a big van, and a lot of places they have a $50 cutoff that won't fill it. You know, fills it about halfway out.
Right.
So it'll look like I bought two purchases of gas in a row.
My suggestion, Roger, stick with Adidas.
Uh huh. I want to get an electric van. That would be better.
Yeah, or an electric van, either one. Yeah. I just want to pause for a second before we get back to the hilarity with our guests and welcome a brand new sponsor of the show. Guys, I don't know if you know, I've been talking about GoToMeeting, been using GoToMeeting for years, a longtime sponsor on my radio show. I am a big fan. If you've never used GoToMeeting, we've got a special deal for you. GoToMeeting makes online meetings easy. It's a way to turn a conference call into something really cool, really visual. No more traveling to meetings, going across the country for an hour meeting, going across town for a 10-minute meeting. You'll save time, you'll save money traveling. You'll increase your productivity, and frankly, it makes conference calls, which are let's be honest, not the most exciting things in the world, engaging and fun. Here's what happens. You set up the meeting ahead of time or on the fly, and you you just send the meeting ID via email. It's a click in Outlook to your clients or colleagues, whoever you're meeting with. They click the link. They go to gotomeeting.com. All of a sudden, they're seeing your computer on their desktops. So, you know, you're showing them PowerPoint. You can show them spreadsheets. You can collaborate. You can work together. You can say, oh, let's work on this document together. You can even give them control, which makes it great for training. If you've got a program you want to demonstrate to a client or train them in, you say, here's how it works. Now you try it, and they can take control. Setup is just a couple of minutes. It's easy. It's secure. It's very affordable. You pay one low flat monthly rate for as many meetings you want for as long as you want. Now, I want you to try it free. You go to gotomeeting.com/twit. It's a special URL we've set up. You get 1 month absolutely free, unlimited meetings for 1 month or 30 days. gotomeeting.com/twit, gotomeeting.com/twit. We welcomed them to This Week in Tech. It's great. It's good to have, I mean, longtime friends and sponsors. These guys up at Citrix that do GoToMeeting are just brilliant. I mean, some of the best programmers out there. They know their stuff. gotomeeting.com/twit. Give them a try. I think you'll like it. So what is it? What do you think of this guy? In fact, he's down. I think he's your way. He's in Florida. His name is Rudy Pedraza, and he started a company called SciStar. And they've advertised.
Right?
Pardon me. Yeah, they say they're gonna sell beige box clones.
Yeah.
With a Macintosh OS 10 Leopard installed on it.
Well, it's just an Intel box.
It's easy to say you're going to sell such a thing. But has anyone actually bought such a thing?
Well, that's exactly what they said in Forbes. They said, okay, let's see it. Who's got one of these? There were some suspicious circumstances. The guy's initial address was a residential address. Then it was a warehouse district. It changed very rapidly. Also, the credit card on the site, SciStar site, they stopped taking credit cards saying that. But he says the reason we moved is we had to move to a big warehouse. We've got a 40,000 square foot warehouse. We have 16 employees. We're adding four more because of all the demand. He also said we ran so many cards through the credit card service that they power pay, that they locked our account. Maybe he bought some Nikes. I don't know. And then
legitimate.
Yeah. And then he went to PayPal, where they also overloaded the account. So he says it's just because it's so popular. He says, we think we could do it. Apple hasn't said anything yet, although it's pretty clearly a violation of the EULA. They're buying, full retail copies of OS X and using, you know, Hackintosh, widely known Hackintosh techniques to get it working on a beige box.
It's open source stuff. So, you know, it's not really illegal to use it except for the EULA.
Well, yeah. I mean, what's the worst Apple can do? Say, oh, you violated our EULA?
Yeah. That's hard to enforce.
I would like to see one. What do you think, John?
Well, you know, this is going to be a test case, let's face it. I mean, I think wrote on the blog or someplace that whether or not this place is legitimate, these computers are going to be sold or whatever, it's an interesting scenario for a test case for somebody else to do. Mm-hmm. You know, can you do what's described, you know, get this operating system and commercialize it on the normal platform?
You'd probably have to turn off updates because Apple would change the upper
No, I mean, I think they were thinking of it as a test for a legal test.
Yeah, why hasn't anyone tried this before? That's what I want to know. If
selling
it's okay, it. Why aren't people doing it?
Well, there are people. I mean, nobody's selling it at retail. I mean, there are a lot of people doing Hackintoshes.
Well, that's what I mean. I mean, how come no one's making a business out of this already?
Well, I think terror.
Well, Apple is very aggressive. Yeah. I can't imagine these people are going to be around for very long.
I agree with that. Apple is very aggressive. They've always been aggressive. They were aggressive back in the Apple II days when they sued the Pineapple computer.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
From Franklin. Wasn't it Franklin Nace?
Yeah, yeah. Franklin made a clone, too.
Right, and then they sued Franklin and it essentially drove them out of business.
Wasn't there a sanctioned Mac clone at one time? Wasn't there a sanctioned
power computing?
Mac? Yeah, during the era.
Yeah, that was before Jobs wasn't came there. Back.
The first thing Jobs did when
he
yeah, first thing he did when he got came back as CEO is cancel those, which I think irritated a lot of people. They felt like, what, you know, what are you doing?
Except that in the pre-Jobs era, what was needed to make Mac exciting was other companies. But once Jobs came back, those guys weren't really needed anymore.
Well, yeah, as it turned out, Jobs made the exact right move. Has Jobs made a bad move since he came back?
They sure make beautiful hardware.
Yeah. Do you use Macs to record, Roger? I thought you used Audition.
No, I do. I use them both, you know, but what happened was I was getting all these Pro Tools sessions sent to me, like the Bob Dylan movie. They sent me a Pro Tools session from Calexico that I had to add my stuff to. So I had to, you know, and then PBS and a couple other people. So it, really just to be with the industry standard, I had to switch to Pro Tools, and I'm using it on a Mac. It's much better on a Mac.
You could use it on, you could be all Windows. There's nothing requiring you to use.
Yeah, you can use it on Windows, but it runs better on a Mac.
Yeah. Well, that's good to know. I never liked Pro Tools, to be honest. I could never figure the darn thing out.
Really?
It's pretty simple.
Did you study it in school? Veronica is, studied sound design, so you must have studied it in school.
Yeah, I used it pretty exclusively.
Whoa, so sound design? What kind? Did you get a degree in something like that?
I have my degree is in audio radio.
What school?
So I did like Emerson.
Oh,
it's a good school.
Oh.
No, seriously, that's a good school. I basically majored in radio at Yale, but they don't have a degree in it, so I had to drop out to do it. That in 420 day was what really put the end of my career at Yale.
Oh my god!
I was thinking of going to the Columbia School of Broadcasting when I was about 17.
Were you?
I got a job from the Limelighters instead.
Oh, you know, I went to the Paul Allen School of Broadcasting.
Yes, we all did. Yeah. I published on my blog because I found it in the comments, buried deep. It was a blog post 7 years ago. We had a web guy, Josh Green, who were you around, John, during this? He was fired, or he left under, you know, it was a disgruntled ex-employee who they forgot, just like the banks forget to cancel his credit cards, they forgot to cancel his VPN credentials. So he VPN'd into the website and put up this just nasty anti-tech TV screed on the site, in which basically what was interesting, this is in 2001, he predicted exactly what was going to happen to tech TV 3 years later. I mean, he said it's all, you know, it's an audience of one, Paul Allen. The minute Paul Allen gets sick of this, you know, he's going to pull the plug. And sure enough, that's what he did.
And it was more than one person.
Well, you were watching it as well.
I was watching it. Yeah, I used to watch it on our tour bus. You know, we had a satellite thing on the tour bus.
Willie Nelson used to, well, or somebody in, I don't know if Willie was watching. Willie was a little relaxed, but somebody was watching it in the Willie Nelson bus because Willie came by and did the screensavers.
The coolest thing on TV. It was really the only reason I wanted to have a satellite, a mobile cool. satellite thing.
We did an interview with, Yahoo Internet Life did an interview with David Bowie. Who lived lives like on an island somewhere in the
I remember reading that. He said he was into CNN, but then he got into tech TV instead.
Yeah. So what happened? We had at least four people watching.
He lives in Bermuda, which is, if you have never been there, Lou, you should check it out. It's a very fascinating island.
I actually have been to Bermuda, and the police wear shorts, which, you know, and a pith helmet.
Bermuda shorts, as a matter of fact, because it's illegal to wear shorts in Bermuda that are above the knee.
Yeah, and it's not a good look because they wear Bermuda shorts, black. And, you know, tall socks and black shoes.
Black.
Oh, like my father-in-law.
Yeah.
That's hot.
Irv was in the garment business for many years, and now he hangs out with his, you know, what you really don't, though, want to have is the garters, the sock garters. You don't want to see those.
Yeah. Oh, man, you're making me blush.
Are you wearing sock garters?
No, but she will be when we outfit her in the Star Trek outfit.
Yeah, tell us about that.
Oh, here we go. There we go.
You're going to use lasers to measure her?
No, we're going to send her to a real tailor. I mean, everybody wants to. I mean, we could probably have an auction to measure her, and then we'd probably make some money on this deal. But that being said, no, we're not going to measure her necessarily. I mean, she could measure herself. But the deal is that we're going to make her get her a Star Trek. We did this as a joke on Cranky Geeks. We mentioned that, you know, she jumped at it because she thinks it would be cool. For someone who would expect it of her to say that, but then we didn't realize what a geek girl she was.
But here's the question. Is it going to be, you know, is it going to be an Uhura Star Trek outfit or a Six of Nine Star Trek outfit? There is a big difference.
So, well, I definitely want it to be original series.
Wants original series, and everybody wants Six of Nine, of course. By the way, the Six of Nine outfit is at some museum someplace. It's either in Paul Allen's place or someplace else. And I saw it.
Paul Allen.
And I didn't realize how small that girl is.
You mean Seven of Nine?
Seven
of Nine. Yeah, Six of Nine, somebody else.
Six of Nine is her clone sister. Sorry,
that's a different show.
Different guy.
The Borg are so confusing. They all look the same.
Anyway, they had that outfit. She must have like a 19-inch waist, she must be 5'1" or something.
Wow,
tiny lady.
We're talking about Annika Hansen.
So the costume would be hilarious. It's kind of snowballed into something much bigger than it was originally meant to be. But now it's just kind of funny. And he promised, so I'm hoping.
And she actually said she would like the idea of wearing one of these things, which I think is the geekiest thing in the world, to even be seen in one, just as a joke.
Is it going to be the mini skirt with the boots, like the, you know, like kind of the Petula Clark look, or?
Oh, heck yeah. Heck yeah.
Oh, my
God. That's what she wants. We're also going to put up a website where people can put her into different ones to see what, you know, maybe take a public opinion.
I don't know about the whole paper doll idea that you've got here.
We're going to make her a paper doll, and it's bang, bang. People can click a button, and bang, 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 she can be in all these different outfits.
I don't know about that.
It's just an idea. You're not going to have anything to do with that. Just going to be your head on a stick figure.
Is Patrick Norton going to be jealous?
I don't know if Patrick will be jealous.
How is that working with Patrick? You enjoying that?
Oh, I love working with Patrick. He's great.
Don't let him rub your head. He always used to rub my head. I have a bald spot on the top right there where he would just do the little. I think he did it for good luck. Don't let him do that.
Yeah, he's a sharp guy. I don't think I'll.
You don't want a bald spot.
No, not so much. No, it's really wonderful working with them. Oh, I love all of them over there.
Yeah. Basically, that's Tech TV over there, except for you and me and John, and that's it. That's all they're missing.
And Tom, we need Tom Merritt too.
Tom Merritt, he's got
to
be your
steal of CNET.
Yeah,
wow. Tom's doing too well to go over to those guys.
He's a star over there. He's doing great.
And there's some other missing people. I mean, there's all the people that actually stepped up the ladder, like Erica and Michaela.
But they're too big. Yeah, we can't.
Yeah, Erica's doing great on CNN. Wow,
she filled in for Anderson Cooper the other day. But I have to say, I take a little bit of credit. Because when Erica started, she was working at Tech TV Radio, and she ended up doing the news with me, and we would do this banter thing back and forth on Call for Help. And I see a little bit of that going on with her and Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
Wonder if he has a bald
spot. I'm the first one over there that spotted her as a star when I saw her on the screen. I can document it.
You can?
You know, she's getting more comfortable because she used to wrinkle her brow when she first got on for about a year, and now she's not doing that.
Yeah, no more of that. Botox. I'm a serious Botox.
It's been Botox.
She can't. She can no longer wrinkle anything. It's just dead. No. She's learned that she doesn't have to do this serious news person thing. She's very lively and fun, and she's totally doing that on AC360. She's very good on there.
We had a woman at, I wish I could remember her name, but she went, a woman that was at PC Magazine, and she went to ABC Overnight for a while, and she would raise her eyebrows constantly, and I was trying to get a hold of her before she went elsewhere to tell her to get Botox, because she actually needed it. Because, you know, you can't, you know, you get it in the forehead, and you can't do that, literally.
Yeah, you can't.
Oh, my gosh, you guys are making me paranoid.
No, don't listen to them. First of all, you're 23.
No, I'm not.
All right, 25. You don't get Botox till you're at least 35.
Well, okay. It depends. If she's like going to wiggle her eyebrows and she's going to be blinking and winking, maybe we should start thinking about the Botox now.
They were thinking of giving
me
Botox in my hand. Yeah,
over.
Oh, she's a blinker and a winker. Winking, blinking, and Belmont, we call her.
No, blinking Belmont. Oh, great.
I don't think Botox should be used.
Belmont, I like it.
Blinking Belmont. Steve Ballmer calls Vista a work in progress. And a rare moment of candor from the...
He's a work in progress.
Yeah, he's a work. He's a piece of work. He said, it sounds like Microsoft's kind of acknowledging that Vista, isn't the greatest. And he says, Vista's bigger than XP. It's going to stay bigger than XP. We have to make sure it doesn't get bigger still. Huh? And that the performance... Oh, I guess he means in size. And that the performance and the battery life... And the compatibility, we're driving on the things that we need to drive hard to improve. It's so hard to read a quote from Steve Ballmer because he, in fact, doesn't use, I don't know, maybe he has Botox in his tongue. I know we're going to continue to get feedback from people on how long XP should be available. We've got some opinions on that. We've expressed our views. I'm always interested in hearing from you on these and other issues.
Sounds most like expensive beta ever.
Yeah, no kidding. What do you think about that, Paul Thurrott, Mr. Windows Weekly?
Oh, I knew you were going to single me out.
Of course. You're the Windows bigot.
Wow.
He says, well, Ballmer says, I think we did a lot of things right, and I think we have a lot of things we need to learn from.
Well, I think Ballmer is being honest. I just look at this as him being him. I mean, this is the type of thing he says. He is pretty forthcoming about this kind of stuff.
That's clearly actually,
they've
that,
made
that's
some mistakes with Vista, right? I mean, otherwise there wouldn't be so many complaints. You know, something went wrong. They did something wrong, you know.
We talk about this on Windows Weekly a lot, and I think that it's kind of, you know, it's an interesting divide. I mean, there are obviously the and you called it last week the silent majority that uses Vista and is perfectly happy with it.
Sure. Well, you're not going to hear from those guys,
right?
But you know, but they did take 27 years to bring it to market or whatever. So clearly, that was too long.
It was only five. It just felt like 27.
Felt like 27. I mean, I think my kids grew up and went to college during the beta period there. I don't.
And already you're playing with Windows 7, the next version of Windows.
Yeah, which is, you know, predictably Windows Vista 2.0.
Right. PC sales are up quite a bit, although not as much as originally predicted. U.S. sales grew 3.5%. Worldwide sales, 14.6% in the first quarter of 2008. That did beat industry estimates. Apple and Dell, the big winners. Dell sales up 21.8% worldwide. Of course, I guess they're still losing money because they don't charge enough. I don't know. They're still in a funk financially. Mm. Apple's sales up 32% in the U.S. Q1 2008. 32%.
In the U.S. What were they up worldwide? Does anybody know?
I'm looking at this to see. Worldwide vendor market. Yeah, see, they aren't nearly as strong worldwide. So HP, then Dell, then Acer, then Lenovo, then Toshiba. They don't even show up in the top five.
They're too expensive for the rest of the world, I think.
Well, there's another thing we're overlooking here, which is the rest of the world, especially the Asian communities. I think the general IQ is a lot higher, and they don't have so much trouble using a computer in the first place that they need a Macintosh necessarily.
Ooh. Okay, Dvorak at Dvorak.org, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm not slamming anybody. I think the Mac's a great machine. I'm just saying. Yeah.
Dvorak says,
like, I got to slam most of the planet there.
Yeah, I got the dig headline. Dvorak says Mac users are too stupid to use Windows.
You know what? After
you said that, I didn't. I would never say that. By the way,
Twitter. I'm expecting him to start using a Mac any day now.
Yeah, you know,
he's using a Mac for a while.
He did use. Yeah, he gave it a good review.
Yeah,
he
ruined my joke.
iMac.
Yeah. I know
Veronica has these moments where she actually does conceptual humor. She did it on the Cranky Geek Show, and nobody gets it.
What?
It's hilarious.
What does she do? What?
I don't remember. I made some joke, and it totally.
You made a joke. You mocked Sarah Lacey.
Did I? Oh no! Yes, I did. Yes. Yeah, but in a mean way.
No, in a very. But it was funny. But only after an hour later, when she explained it.
Well, what happened is we were talking about my April Fool's joke on Mahalo Daily, where I pretend interviewed Steve Jobs and we rickrolled everyone. And we were talking about something and I said, oh, yeah, but he kept telling me to ask real questions. And just no one laughed.
Oh, I love it.
And so I moved on and we kept talking about it. And I'm like, no one got my
story. I would have gotten that.
Well, that's what I get for trying.
By the way, rickrolling.
Can't win a.
It's over. CNN did a big story on it. It's over.
It was over when I did it.
Yeah. Dvorak did it, and then CNN did a story on it. It's over. We got to find some other way to prank people.
I've been trying to get the Ain't Nobody Gonna Break My Stride song to be the next.
That's a good one.
Hasn't picked
That's
up.
That's a theme from Great American Hero? What is that?
Ain't nobody gonna break my stride. Ain't nobody gonna hold
I have
me
to tell you, the reason Roger McGuinn is on this show is because I don't even remember doing this, but apparently I sang an execrable version of Mr. Tambourine Man.
Yeah, I thought you were PO'd at me. You know, it sounded like, hey, Mr. Tambourine.
He thought I was mocking
him. He thought he was punishing you.
I thought you were angry with me for some.
That's how I sing.
Spammed you on Facebook or something. You know,
memes just have to happen organically. You can't decide that something's going to be a meme or it doesn't work.
How would you feel, Roger? I mean, how do you think, first of all, Rick Astley must love this. Because, I mean, I'm sure he's making money off the fact that all of a sudden everybody's rickrolling everybody. But what if they did a Roger roll? Would it be an insult to you, Roger, or would you take the money and run?
I would think it was, a good publicity stunt.
Yeah.
Like Dvorak would say, right, John?
Well, you know, I agree on the big sense of things, but in on the small micro sense of things, I think it's an insult.
Yeah.
Well, he was a one-hit wonder, though.
Still could be, you know, meaningful, but...
You got to wonder, how much money did Rick Astley make? Do you think he made any? He must have made some money.
What, in his life?
No. On the fact that everybody's playing, Never Gonna Give You Up.
He's not getting anything out of the whole thing. He probably just has to put up with a bunch of grief from his buddies.
Probably Neil Sedaka has the publishing.
No, he's going on tour.
That's it. You're right. He's coming back. You're right. He's coming back.
Yeah.
What is this, like the ringtone tour of America?
Well, that would end anybody wanting to do anything like that again if he's coming back.
It's like Spitzer's awesome girlfriend. You know, you don't.
Yeah, she's got a career on it, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Let's see. Let me look. Let me go to Wikipedia, the source of all knowledge.
Oh, jeez.
Never wrong.
See what's going on.
At least to the 420 crowd.
Yeah. Estimated 25 million users were tricked into watching Never Gonna Give You Up. The worst one, or the best one, was Dr. Tiki's. He had a video of Lala in the shower for like 1 second. You see her turn on the water, her wrist, and then it's Never Gonna Give You Up. Man, that was mean. That was cold.
Cruel and unusual punishment.
Did you know, there is a Rick Astley's Greatest Hits, but I don't know what else would be on there. It's kind of a short record.
He's probably
three
never been more famous.
That song.
Yeah, three versions of Never Gonna Give You Up.
Including the
video on YouTube.
You know, I'm thinking a bunch of mixes, but I couldn't come up with any good
The meanest Rick role is, there's one, what is it called? The internet is, I can't remember, I won't give you the URL anyway, even if I knew it. But you go there, and not only does it launch the video, every time you try to close it, it jumps somewhere else.
Oh gosh, yeah.
You pretty much have to shut the machine down to stop it.
That's the worst one.
Well, you could go to Control Alt with the Windows machine. The knowledgeable users know that they go to Control Alt Delete, then hit the processes.
The Asians know how to stop it.
All the Asians,
exactly. Windows users, fine.
The Asians can do it.
eBay is speaking of intelligence. eBay is thinking of getting out of the Skype business. Skype's, you know, this is an interesting story because nobody really could figure out. Well, I remember we talked about this.
Why they bought it in the first place.
What is Skype's business model? I mean, how do they make, is there advertising? I don't see any advertising on it.
You know what?
You're talking about Skype interaction eBay interaction over Skype, aren't you?
eBay bought Skype, right? For what? For billions. Like $4 billion.
Right, but the idea being that what? People were going to talk to each other on the phone about their products or?
Well, that's the problem. So they spent $3.1 billion. They wrote down the value to $1.4 billion after concluding it's not going to match its earlier hopes. And the new CEO at eBay is saying, if we don't find a way to make, you know, John Donahue says, if we can't figure out a way to make this work with our business and nobody else could figure what it could be, we will probably sell it. So
shouldn't they have come to this determination
they spent $3.1 billion? Now, here's the interesting thing. Skype had a 61% increase in its first quarter revenue this year, 309 million users worldwide. Isn't it the Web 2.0 credo that you don't have to worry about a business model, just get numbers and the business model will follow? I think you've told me that, John.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the whole way that business is done in Silicon Valley. Those people are worth about $20 a head.
So why can't eBay figure out what to do with it?
I don't know. Ask them. They're obviously, I'll tell you something. eBay's never impressed me with being able to develop any sort of model other than the original one that they first came up with. Because even at one point during the era in the late 90s, when everybody was taking this easy, you know, this huge capitalization that they had accumulated because of the stock market and everything else in the post-bubble burst, they bought Butterfield, and it looked to me as they were going to go into the real auction business and have both the online thing locked up and then take over the world because they had enough capitalization to do it. So they bought Butterfield. I thought they were going to buy Christie's and they could have bought the whole group. And then they just, I don't know, it's too much work. And so they bailed out on everything and they went right back to their original model.
Pez dispensers. It's all about the Pez dispensers.
I don't think they have any real...
My mom collects those.
That's how it started, you know.
Yeah, it's all and then those crappy little dolls, those little what are those things called? Those squeeze things from Thai, those Cupies. Little crappy little
Cupie dolls.
Ooh,
yeah.
Beanie babies.
A great place to get Star Trek memorabilia.
That's true. Good point. You know,
keep it in mind, Veronica.
You want to keep it authentic.
You could get the original
radios.
The original.
So anyway, I mean, I don't have a. Yeah, I think they do what they do well, but they don't seem to be able to do anything else.
No, I agree.
I can see why they would think that Skype would be a good purchase for them. I can kind of get it how people could call each
nobody
other.
Nobody else can.
But I don't think people are really interested.
How would it integrate with eBay's business though? What are you saying? You'd call the seller and say, "Hey, dude, that Pez dispenser way overpriced."
And
chat.
I
guess they could talk.
Ask for details.
Over things maybe. Ask for details. Exactly.
But you could do that whether eBay owns Skype or not. They had
much human interaction, though. People don't actually want to talk to each other about that kind of thing.
I don't even want to talk to you.
I barely want to talk to you
right
guys.
Now. Right. Yeah.
And by the way, the typical eBay users aren't necessarily, the types that are going to be into all these gizmos and gadgets and screwiness. I mean, they may not be able to figure out how to use Skype. Now, if the whole thing was in Asia.
They're probably all Mac users. Yeah.
Or Europe.
Hey, I'm trying the best I can.
I'm looking for my rim shot. Sorry.
The podcast is huge in Asia. We don't know why.
So Leo, have you had any chance to play with your XO from OLPC?
I have. In fact, I have it right here downstairs.
I'm coming here too.
This is the one laptop per child. It was originally supposed to be $100. I think it's $200. You and I bought it as the give one, get one program where you buy one.
I did too.
Did you? Yeah, Paul has one.
Yeah.
Ooh, did you overclock it?
No.
I didn't feel that wasn't keeping with its original design.
You can get a 30% increase in speed.
What's 30% of zero, though?
I want to put Vista on it. Can I put Vista on it?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Do it, Leo.
OS 10.
It barely runs Red Hat. I mean, what's it got? 1 gig flash drive? Is that
you were spoiled because,
you have a disposable income and you can throw your money away in garbage.
If you're a kid.
It's not garbage. It's a good little box. And, I use it in my dressing room for Twittering. I Twitter in my dressing room with it.
Wait a minute. No, okay.
I want to know anymore. Stop.
I want a picture of Roger in his dressing room with his little cute little OLPC in his lap and the little green ears sticking up. Twittering. This I want to see.
Well,
Now you could have an Asus EPC. You think this is better than that?
No.
Yeah, I don't. I would say compared to any
that
of the
summarizes everything.
It's not faster. You know, it's underpowered. It just takes a long time to do anything. But it's got some weird the operating things. I mean, if you want to play a video, you have to go to this other thing that starts up like a little star, and it goes up into another thing. And
it is weird, isn't it?
Yeah, the whole interface.
Strange.
The networking stuff is kind of cool, though. How you can see all the available networks.
The mesh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and also it won't play YouTube videos at all.
Oh, it won't?
It won't play flash video from YouTube. And let's see what else.
So it's kind of like the iPhone.
Yeah, well, right. And when you're in Gmail, there's no cursor in the reply box. So you have to kind of guess at where, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
Oh. Well, it wasn't really designed to do email and play YouTube videos. It's designed for schools. It's K through 6 schools. And I mean, maybe we have trouble with the interface because we're used to Macs and Windows. Maybe a kid that never has used a computer could.
I mean, how can someone get used to a computer using this thing and then move to a Mac or a Windows machine?
Oh, that's true.
It's so different. I don't even understand.
So you think Intel's classmate, which is, and by the way, Nick Negroponte, I think, was pissed off about this because both Intel and Microsoft, who originally were partners with this, dropped out as soon as they chose the AMD processor. Intel said, well, if we're out of here, we're going to make a classmate, which is equally cheap, running Windows.
And we're going to.
Yeah, and undermine you in all of these markets.
It's undermine. It's like, why does he get the monopoly on this idea? It doesn't make any sense to me that he should be complaining.
It's
supposed to be like throwing laptops out to the poor people in Africa and every place else. Why would somebody say, well, you're going to do it too? You're stepping on my toes.
In Nick's defense, he's never done that, but you could just tell that the steam's coming out of his ears. But he's been very careful because I think he knows it would be unseemly. He's been very careful not to say it out loud.
I just, you can point to any low-cost laptop, and there are a bunch coming out now and in the future, and I think almost any one of them would be more appropriate for a child than
I think this, the new Asus E900, which is a bigger screen. It's in every respect the same as the Asus 700, except that I think it has, is it a 9-inch screen? And it's got a bigger drive.
One thing I love about the XO, though, that you can turn off the backlight and use it as a reader, you know, like the Amazon.
It has a nice...
It's just it's not the hardware is okay. It's just the interface is so screwy. I don't like the interface. I don't know who designed this or how, but it's just so...
Well, it's Red Hat. It's some version of Red Hat.
But there's a big Python interface on it called Sugar. Is it Sugar? I think it's Sugar. And then there's Squeak is on it, too, which is the Smalltalk implementation. Yeah. I mean, I think in some ways this would be... I would love to do, as an experiment, give it to a 9-year-old and say...
I did do that experiment. My kids had no idea what to do with it.
Oh, interesting.
If they can
they
program
had no problem
Python.
Picking up computers, but this one, they just... You know, they were really excited when they saw it.
Who never had any kind of computer before? Would it be more intuitive then?
Give it to an Asian.
There's kind of a catch
22. They can solve anything, so what difference does it make? That's not a good test.
It's kind of a catch 22. There's no manual, and the manual's all online, and how to get online is in the manual.
Yeah, good luck getting online without the manual.
Right. Because it's really convoluted. Yeah, exactly. I mean, you have to go to this network thing and then look at all the little circles and pick one that isn't locked.
If you want to run WPA encryption, you've got to actually do a command line hack.
It doesn't do WPA right out of the box,
Which is a problem that I've had. Yeah.
I think we should skip the topic and move ahead.
Okay, here we go.
That means you, Roger.
Roger wanted to talk about the XO laptop, and I think we've done that.
Okay, I'm happy.
Do you have an Asus EPC?
No.
I would get that. I think that's the ultimate gadget. The new one is still, it's 1024 by 600.
How many computers do you need?
Oh, as many as you can fit in a room.
Every single one.
That's the answer.
One
that's the
more
right
than I have.
Always.
Always, exactly.
I love my MacBook Pro. My MacBook Pro is my favorite.
Me too.
I've gone back to the regular MacBook again and again.
I love
and again,
my MacBook.
Despite having a steady stream of laptops coming through here, that thing is just a workhorse. You know,
it's interesting because everybody, all the photographers I was working with in Tasmania, and the best photographers in the world, they all had Macs, almost all, one or two had Windows. But did you see this lawsuit from a photographer who says, first of all, all the MacBook screens only do, even though it says millions of colors, in fact, are only doing 219,000 colors. And then complains that they're very unevenly lit. The color is inaccurate. These are actually terrible things to try to look at your photos with. He's suing them.
He's suing them.
It's about time somebody sued him.
Is there a difference between the LED backlit Macs and the other ones, the fluorescent?
I think LED is more accurate, absolutely. Fluorescent is inherently kind of uneven, right? You got this bright
kind of
corners.
Bluish, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of blue.
But that wouldn't affect the number of colors, right? I mean...
No, and that's what the lawsuit is
about. You're saying
that
any MacBook ever sold, this thing is displaying 219,000 colors, not millions of colors.
Yeah, they claim millions of colors. But
is that not a display setting, like millions of colors?
No, they claim it.
But
I think I'm seeing millions of colors on mine.
It's 420. Why not?
Yeah.
I've never noticed any difference between this computer and other PCs.
Okay. Apple has settled the lawsuit. Let me see the latest. Fred Greaves and David.
They're going to fix it, I thought, through a software patch.
Yeah. Well, I guess there's a couple of different issues. One is that
I'm sorry. Is the display drivers that are causing this problem, not the LCD native?
No, I think it's hardware.
Huh.
How could this display be any different from that on any other?
Yeah, you're right.
Apple used 6-bit displays, which generated 262,144 discrete colors, and then dithered it to appear to look like it had 16.7 million. Apple doesn't say where the displays came from, but they did use these 6-bit displays in both MacBook and MacBook Pro lines.
It is a display.
It's a hardware issue. It looks like Apple settled. The original lawsuit was that the displays were grainy and sparkly. And some people observed banding. But then I think when that happens, they investigated the hardware and found, oh, this is why there's banding. It's dithered. Apple settled. So I, we don't know what it means. We don't know what it means.
Mine looks really good. You know, it looks creamy and smooth.
I think the Air looks fantastic. The Air looks like a piece of paper. You know, I mean, it's so solid.
Like something that might be in an envelope.
You know, let's get back to the news.
That's news. That's,
I know, but you're starting to drift again. You know, pretty soon it's going to deteriorate to talking about Twitter.
Oh, heaven forfend.
Well, you're the
I can't believe
expert.
Anyone is
Maybe
still using Twitter, though.
About it.
Oh, what's the next thing after Twitter, Paul?
Oh, stopping using Twitter and just getting on with life.
Yeah, actually, Hugh McLeod, the cartoonist who does Gaping Void, which is a wonderful, you've seen these little postcard cartoons.
Yeah.
And he is big on Twitter. But he's about 2 weeks ago, he said, that's it, I'm done with Twitter. I don't blog anymore. I hate Twitter. So he's gone like a day.
Back.
And he's back. Twitter. I looked, he twittered like 40 times in 24 hours.
Yikes.
This is a guy with...
Did he actually do anything or just Twitter about Twittering?
Boy, it didn't take much to get the conversation off track and onto Twitter.
You started it.
I just want to point it out to everybody out there that this is the problem with this show.
No, there's no, wait a minute, John. There is no problem with this
driver
show.
at the helm, you know, on a track that goes in every
I'm
which
sorry,
way.
Sorry, I'm high.
I thought the problem was the Dvorak.org.blog.
That's not the problem. That's the solution, according to John.
It's a great blog.
It is.
I like it.
We should mention that one of the postings on this, by the way, it's misspelled, John, just in case you want to fix that. Tribute to your mom who passed away recently.
What did I misspell?
Well, you spelled memoriam with a U.
You know, I looked it up and there's like about five different ways of putting that.
Pick one because the title of the post is with an A.
Yeah, I got to change the title.
In the illustration.
I got to match the artwork.
This is a terrible thing to rag you about, and I apologize.
Yeah, it's terrible. You're so insensitive.
But, okay, I'm going to make a big confession here, and you can hate me if you want.
Hold on one second. While you're doing that, I'm fixing it.
All right. You can hate me if you want. But because of the misspelling, I thought, oh, this is an April Fool's joke. John put on a wig.
Oh, that is so sick. It's not April 1st. I only do April Fool's jokes on April 1st.
You look a little like your mom. I'm gonna say.
Yeah.
Look, folks, at this post. Post 17346. You could see how on first glance I might have think John like did that as a joke. No, I'm a sick person.
You are terrible.
I'm so sorry. I'm embarrassed. Now I'm embarrassed.
Shame is bad.
Shame on
hate
you.
Me. Please hate me.
But Leo knows me long enough that, you know, it's in memoriam. Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, let me fix that right now.
I thought it was AM. I always thought it was memoriam.
You know, I looked it up and and there's like, believe me, there's different versions of it. I'm going to keep it with the U. I think one is like derived from the Latin.
It's Latin.
And somebody will send me. I don't have the comments on. So, I mean, if it was a joke, by the way, I probably would have left the comments on. But
I apologize and I'm sorry about your mom and our condolences. And I'm sure that's
it's spelled right.
Nothing to joke about. I apologize. And that's why I said, I know this is reprehensible, but it's because I've known you for a while and you're kind of a prankster. Okay.
Yeah. I have my limits.
You wouldn't joke about that. You're right. That would be poor taste. Okay. I feel really bad now.
You should. Well, get back onto the news track. That would be a plus.
How about this? Microsoft has started selling a version of Works free to the PC makers called Works SE. It stands for Sponsored Edition. It has ads in it.
But the PC makers only pay a few bucks for it.
It's free. It's free. And they, in fact,
the non-free one.
They're saving a buck.
When did Microsoft get on this advertising jag where they got to sell ads and they got to do
because
this?
Because of Google. They're trying to keep up with Google.
Google's not a software company. Microsoft's a software company, and why aren't they spending their efforts on software? People buy software. They're going to be buying software forever.
That's 1990s, software. John. Their software's dead. Software is last century.
Software's dead.
There's no software's imaginary.
Well, I mean, regardless of whether software is real or not, does anybody actually use Works? Is this a...
No.
Is there a human being on this earth that you can't move stuff every day?
My wife, Camilla, uses Works.
There you go.
Uses, yeah.
I've used it on an emergency basis.
So, I mean,
people still use WordPad. Come on, Paul.
No.
In Asia, they're using Notepad and they're happy.
I'm actually writing my Windows Vista book in Notepad.
Are you really?
But anyway, every day.
God.
Well, actually, TextEdit is probably a lot more worthwhile than Microsoft Works.
Anybody here have small children? You have small children, Paul.
Yeah.
Roger?
I would let my kids use Works. That's
no,
great.
No, this is, I'm changing the subject.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Parents, don't let your kids use Works. No, I'm changing the subject because there's a new Audible site, and we wanted to mention this, called Audible Kids. And wow. I know you're an Audible user, Paul. AudibleKids.com/twit. I think this is really neat. It's the first, new site that Audible's done since they started 10 years ago. AudibleKids.com.
I did just buy an iPod for my son.
Kids, you're a parent, you'll see, because first of all, of course, you read to your kids. But also, and Megan does this, she's got 3-year-olds and a 5-year-old, and she'll read to them, but then they love listening to the book again, like Make Way for Ducklings or something. They like listening to it again on tape, and it's kind of nice for the parent. This is educators and parents have gotten together to put this site together. It turns your iPod into an audiobook thing. I think it's good for literacy. I don't think that it hurts. I think you're right. They're going to still read. Nobody's saying don't read. Then what's nice is if you have kids, that's what's on here. AudibleKids.com/twit, a one-of-a-kind community for parents, educators, and their children focused on igniting a young person's love of reading. You'll see at the bottom, they have reading is fundamental, free downloads for children's literacy. They've got 99-cent specials. Exclusive audio from probably the most popular author for kids in K-6, R.L. Stein. His stuff is... Veronica, you probably are young enough to remember Goosebumps. Did you read the Goosebumps stuff when you were a kid?
I loved
Goosebumps. See, I knew it. Isn't that great?
Loved Goosebumps. And Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Yeah. Now, wouldn't you like to hear Goosebumps? I mean, it's not just... Wait a minute.
Scholastic Audio
I'm
presents...
starting to hear it now.
Horrorland, Book 1, Revenge of the Living Dummy.
See, don't
by
doesn't
R.L. Stein.
Doesn't that bring
by Alyssa Honeycutt?
Don't you get memories now?
Story.
See, no, the thing with
Revenge of the Living Dummy. Who could that be?
It's for kids.
Oh,
like Chucky for kids. Anyway, AudibleKids.com. You know we love Audible. Paul's a big Audible listener. AudibleKids.com/twit. You can get a ton of free kids downloads. Available to new and existing Audible customers. So this is a kind of a special offer that we haven't done before. However, not available to UK residents. And that's just, I don't know, publisher's restrictions. Audible.com/twit for a free trial offer.
I just downloaded Obama's books, and they're really great because, he puts it in his own words, and you really get the feeling.
And he's reading it.
Yeah, you fall in love with the guy. I mean, he's incredible.
Obama's the new Twitter.
Oh, he's Twitter.
You're just right behind him, jealous. Leo.
It's me and Obama at the top of the list.
It's amazing.
Twitter Obama, he starts following you.
Yeah. There's a script that they can enable on Twitter where Scoble was using this. He finally turned it off. He said, 20,000 people, it's kind of hard to read.
Yeah.
I've never done that. I don't want to do that. But no, Obama, yeah, it's interesting. Now, what's really interesting is Hillary Clinton, who's also on Twitter,
does not follow everybody.
Follows
back.
No one. John Edwards, who was big on Twitter, he was, I think, the first. Now that he's not a candidate, screw you guys. I don't want to talk to the hoi polloi.
Nothing to say.
He's gone.
Yeah, these people are all insincere. Well, these are insincere Twitterers.
I think so. I mean, Twitter is marketing, right? And that's what I liked about what you do, John, is you're putting content in there. It's not about marketing. But here's the interesting thing.
Yet.
When Hillary Clinton Twitters... her staff uses right. I.
Oh, I see what
I don't mean. Like that. Because unless she's really doing it.
It's interesting.
I highly doubt she's really.
Not to get into politics, but don't you get sort of a I are we kind of thing from her anyway? I mean, there's a big engine there, right?
It's the royal we.
Well, we, I wouldn't be bothered with, but she's saying I as if she is posting that Twitter. And so then I thought, well, I wonder if Obama's doing that. I went here and he has no pronouns at all. So clearly somebody on his staff thought about this and said, well, we don't want to say he, we don't want to say we don't want to say I. So for instance, his most recent post just says in Reading and Scranton, PA today, honored to be campaigning. There's no pronoun.
Headlines, news headlines.
But I think there's a conscious
sound bites
in PA at the Alliance for American Manufacturing, stating that any trade agreement must contain real enforceable standards. There's no he, we, I at all.
Right. So he said stating instead of saying.
He said stating. Well, look, a staffer's writing this. I don't see Barack standing backstage while he's being introduced, twittering on his cell phone.
Yeah. We got to get a Nokia N95 in their hands and get them quicking.
Wouldn't it be cool, though, if like, okay, hey, so whoever gets elected.
How come Quick only works with Nokia phones?
What does?
Quick only works. How come Quick.com only?
Oh, they can't figure it out. Nokia, it's easier to write stuff for S60 because it's a real operating system. I think that's the real reason.
Because I got a Trio and I can't get on.
No. Quick. Quick is cool.
I'm trying to get used to it.
Quick is the one that Scoble used to spam everybody at Davos. That's what turned me off of it now. I get a little kind of nauseous when I see the Quick. Because it's what you sneak up on people. You go, Quick, look, you're on the internet. Nah! It's a little weird.
That's Leo, what I feel bad about. Also, I'm very boring.
No, you're not.
Leo, what were you streaming your broadcast from Australia with?
Ustream and Stick'em. Actually, I think it was mostly Stick'em there. And, you know, we're trying right now to decide, because I'm going to start streaming like 25 hours a week. Because unlike you, Veronica, I think people like to look at me. And I'm going to get a mini skirt.
Hey, can we make a copy of that comment? I like to use it as a soundbite.
I'm already making it into a t-shirt.
I figure 25 hours of Leo is just not enough.
25 hours of Leo is never enough.
A week. What am I, nuts? What we'll do is we'll stream everything. You know, everything I'm doing, all the podcasts, the radio show, and... I'm trying to decide which to use, Ustream or Stick'em. And all this week, I'm going to be doing trials with both of them. We have a T1. I bought a T1 just for video. There's not going to be anything else using it.
I would go with Ustream.
Why?
Personally. I mean, I really like the guys at Stick'em. I just think it's more stable. I don't know.
That's what I'm going to find out. I mean, that's what these trials are going to do. In fact, you know, I'm building the new studio downstairs. We're going to be going online this week. Because it's the third anniversary of Twit, I was going to try to have a live Twit. Kevin Rose is going to be on Twit next week. John, I'd love you to come up. Veronica, anybody who's in town, come up to the studios and we'll do a live one. And I want to try to break these services.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
Don't you think if we had Kevin, Patrick, you, Dvorak, And we were all live, Calacanis, whoever, and all live. Oh, can you be in the same room with Jason now, or are you two?
Of course.
You like each other,
fine.
Right?
Yeah. Okay. Don't say that. Yes.
He bites.
Well, I'll be honest with you. There are people who have been on Twitter who said, anytime, as long as Calacanis isn't on.
Oh.
But there are other people like that, too. You don't know what a minefield casting the show is. I have a chart in my office with lines and crosses of who can be on with whom.
Oh my gosh, is there anyone who can't be on with me?
Oh God, yes.
Oh, tons.
I want to know.
Including two people in the room right now.
Right now.
Oh no. That's terrible.
So wouldn't it be cool if whoever gets elected president literally actually twitters from the Oval Office? Wouldn't that make you, now here's the question, would that make you feel better or worse about our national government?
Yeah, it might make you feel worse because they're not doing anything really important.
What the hell's he doing? Well, how long before we have an actual blogger president?
Right. I just launched the missiles. I'll be back in a few.
LOL. Obama would blog.
Now I made a sandwich.
Wait a minute. I want to register a Twitter account, Oval Office. And we could have so much fun with that.
How about from Air Force One?
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Oh, yeah. The wings just fell off. But the good news is cake for dessert. So let me just think, who's going to hate this show besides
everybody?
Yeah, pretty much everybody.
Have we not insulted yet?
Jeez Louise. Well, you know, it's the third anniversary of Twit. I think we should go out with a bang. I was going to do a podcast, but then I got high.
Oh, no.
I was going to do a commercial, but then I got high. I was going to monetize, and now I know why. Because I got high. Because I got
like one of Roger's songs from the 70s.
I don't. I can't sing Roger's songs because he thinks
they're ASCAP.
I'm insulting him.
Yeah. They're ASCAP too. You have to pay him a nickel.
Speaking of publishing, I tried to put up Mr. Spaceman with a hip hop beat, and my publisher wouldn't let me. And
it's your song.
I know.
They wouldn't let you.
They wouldn't let me.
All right, let's do it right now. I'll do the.
Hey, Roger, do you still own the song?
Yeah, well, no, I don't. They've stolen it from me. You know, I wrote it, but I don't own it anymore.
Yeah, this is a typical example of how they're protecting the artist with all these new laws.
Exactly.
Ultimately make more money if you sold a new version of the song?
Yeah, they would. But, well, I didn't. I wasn't selling it. I just wanted to put it
on.
It's a rub.
Roger gives away a ton of free music. This Folk Den, I've downloaded every one of them.
Oh, thank you.
They're beautiful. You know, it's kind of the history of folk, right?
Give them the URL.
It's folkden.com, F-O-L-K-D-E-N, one word, .com. And it's the idea, well, you can go to McGuinn.com and find it there too. But the idea is just to keep the old songs alive because there were a whole slew of singer-songwriters calling themselves folk singers, and they weren't doing any of the old folk songs.
Right.
So. I thought, you know, somebody ought to hold up that end of it, the traditional side. No, that's where the folk den got started.
Saving the genre for the future of mankind.
Yeah, back in 95.
The thing is, it could make, you know, the thing is that has to be done because even though we may, you know, think these songs are corny or they're out of fashion or whatever, those things are, everything's cyclical. And at some point in the future, you're going to be thanked for doing
this is not corny. This is great stuff.
I think they'll come back, that's, you know, because they've been gone for so long, they'll be new again.
I love them.
They've been gone for 20 years. Nobody's heard the, you know, the.
Here, let me play Blow. You've heard this. Fellas, the sea. I used to sing this. I love that. You know, I used to, when I was a kid.
Quite popular in San Francisco.
Oh, jeez.
I love this old sailing song.
It's a sailing song. When I was a kid, we used to go up to Upper New York State and go to Hootenannies with Pete Seeger. And he would sing these great old songs. And I grew up on
Pete's house.
Oh, I love Pete. Pete Seeger, he's right up there with you, Roger, is one of my great heroes. I just love his.
I love him, too. You know, he's really into, I showed him my solar stuff, and he freaked out. He just loved it. You know, I told him about the Barefoot College and how they're teaching these ladies to go around and light up their villages in India. And he loved it.
He's a conservationist. Remember, he was sailing his boat up and down the Hudson trying to save the Hudson.
Clearwater.
And Richard Thompson's been kind of trying to save these old songs too, hasn't he?
Yes, he has. He's a folkie. Yeah, Fairport Convention was a folk band.
Right. And he's been touring with what is it, like 100 years of popular music? No, 1,000 years of popular music. Which is great stuff.
He's an incredible artist. He's really a great guitar player and a singer.
I kind of feel bad because I think a lot of people think Thompson twins.
Yeah.
That's kind of the Rick Astley. That was his Rick Astley period.
Okay. Well, he used to work with his wife, too.
Who is his wife?
I forget. It was like Mary or something, but they split up.
Okay. So this is going to be really depressing now. They split up. John's mom's dead, and Audible is no longer a sponsor. So I think there's really nothing more to say.
You're oversensitive.
Is Corey Doctorow going to put back on?
I would have to say thank you to John because he's opened my eyes about what's possible to say in a podcast. And this is going to dramatically change everything we do on the other podcast.
It is. We didn't know, did we, Paul?
I didn't know. I thought there was, you know, some sort of line.
No, there's no line. No.
But this podcasting. No, I think it's awesome.
This is why the FCC has turned the public into a bunch of weenies that, you know, now we can just basically say what we want.
Mm-hmm. Except as long as we don't say, but everything else is okay.
it's continuity over spontaneity. Is that the idea?
Delicate constitution.
I think that's the first time you've ever said that ever.
Here's what I tell my kids. If you never say it, then when you need it, it'll be there for you.
You can get the big laugh.
You get the big laugh. And
I agree with that.
Right now I need the big laugh. I could do another story, but why? I think this show is really winding down. I wanted to talk about the fact that researchers in England at the University of Manchester have made a transistor one atom long.
And 10 atoms wide.
Is that wild?
Yeah. Think of the possibilities. I mean, they could make a human brain with that stuff.
That's what they're, I mean, seriously, that's the kind of thing they're trying to work on. I'm really interested. I want to get Jeff Hawkins on to interview him. In fact, he's agreed to it. I just have to schedule it. He's the founder of Palm and Graffiti, you know, created Graffiti. But yep. He's working his new company, Numenta. And I think we've talked about his book because it's on Audible, On Intelligence. It's a great book, worth reading, about how the brain works. He's done a lot of brain research to understand how the brain works. And it's his opinion that the von Neumann machine, that the transistor and all, you know, the binary devices we talk about just can never make a human mind because that's not how a human mind works. So he's trying to create silicon and software that would work more like the human mind work. And he's got a company called Numenta. In fact, I think Bill Atkinson is working at Numenta. Who's working at somebody, some very famous, I think it's Bill Atkinson's work. Some brilliant programmers are up there.
You're talking original Mac team.
Yeah.
Bill
Atkinson's brilliant. Yeah. Numenta. We'll get him on sometime to talk about that. But that's the, but these advances just show that, you know, sometimes people say, oh, you know, it's like the old patent office guy who said, everything that's ever going to be invented has been invented. We're so far from that.
What happened to that great memory? There was some sort of memory technology that was going to increase the size, you know, the storage capacity of memory, like by, you know, thousands.
Was that holographic stuff you're talking about?
I guess so.
That holographic disk drive that was supposed to be coming out like about, you know, any time now. Whatever happened to that?
Molly and I always talk about that on Buzz Out Loud. Waiting on the holographic memory.
The first time I heard that, so you know, I've heard about holographic memory and all this since I started writing about this stuff in the late 70s. And every time it keeps cropping up, I always poo-poo it. And they say, you're just an old fart. And I say, no, it's not going to work, is what the problem is.
Well, we were supposed to have cars that you'd get in, like in Stranger in a Strange Land, you know, you tell it where to go and you sit back and...
Still waiting for those. Or where are my flying cars? Damn it.
1964, they promised us.
Jeez. Well, hey, at least we have picture phones now. Thank goodness.
And we got GPS. It's almost like that. Yeah.
GPS is kind of ubiquitous now. All the photographers were carrying little tracking devices with them. And then when they get back with all their pictures, they match the log up with the picture data. And the picture... You know exactly what longitude and latitude to the second that you took it. And then you upload it to Flickr or
Earth, right?
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Hey, Leo, what were you doing there?
Looking for love.
Doing his photographic copy.
With all these photographers, I mean, what were you at? I mean, you never explained it, I don't think, did you?
Well, I mean, it's, you know, I was a mascot.
Super secret.
I was
super
a mascot.
Secret.
So, you know, Mikkel Olland is a good friend. He's been on Call for Help in the lab and, you know, he's a wonderful professional photographer, wrote a great book last year called Adobe Lightroom Adventure. He took 20 photographers, including Bill Atkinson, who is, by the way, a very good photographer, took them, Michael Reichman and Peter Krogh, up to Iceland. And the book is a beautiful book, but what it's neat, it's these great pictures from these really good pro photographers. And then it's Lightroom, it's how to use Lightroom with that. So Adobe went with them and it was before Lightroom came out and they polished it and they, you know, got input from the photographers, and then the book came out simultaneously with the program. Well, Lightroom 2 is in process, so Adobe went back to Mikkel and said, it's time for another book. He brought another 20 great photographers, including, I mean, some of the photographers I was with. Bruce Dale, you guys would love Bruce. 30 years staff photographer at National Geographic and a complete gadget hound. In fact, he takes some credit for the destruction of National Geographic. They were celebrating their 100th anniversary. I don't know, this may be 15 years ago. And you may remember this cover. It was a holographic cover. And if you tilted it one way, it was a Steubenville crystal globe. But you tilt it the other way, it's smashing into pieces. And it was kind of the point was, you know, our world, you know, is a fragile thing. And but the cost of making this image, printing it on a Mylar and getting it out to millions of National Geographic users was so steep that the editor-in-chief who conceived it and much of the staff got fired. They brought in bean counters and everything changed.
Oh, man.
Bruce says that National Geographic went from having like 150 photographers and two vice presidents to 150 vice presidents and two photographers.
So they ruined the magazine because of that cover.
Yeah.
Huh.
But it's interesting. You would love this because in order to do this, these were $6,000 Steubenglass crystal globes. They bought eight of them. He had to use, in order to get the picture, he had to use a laser that fired 10 times a second, had to coordinate it with a pistol that shot a very slow pellet, because in order for this to look, you can't, a bullet would just go right through it. You need to smash it. He designed the gun, designed the triggering mechanism, I think went to Caltech to get the laser. The problem was everything had to be in a sandbox, because if a truck goes by, the picture's no good. He had the sandbox and all the equipment on the East Coast, had to fly it to Caltech, you know, 8,000 pounds of gear. They would shoot the thing, shoot the picture. He would get all the pieces, glue it together again so they could shoot it again. They finally got an image. It's a fascinating story, but he's a complete gadget hound. He took remote control. You guys would love this guy. He took remote control race cars and made them look like a Roadrunner and put a camera on it and had it go up to Roadrunners in the desert. The Roadrunners were fooled by these decoys and got these amazing images. One Roadrunner comes up to this thing, offers it a stick, which is part of the mating ritual. I'm going to help you build a nest. And of course, the robot can't accept the stick. You could see in these pictures, these images, the real Roadrunner getting more and more pissed off because the other Roadrunner is ignoring him. Eventually, he starts attacking it. Great stuff. Anyway, so we went. So with these great, it was a real treat for me. I'm not a pro photographer, but I fancy myself a good hobbyist.
So hold on a second, Leo. I mean, these are all interesting anecdotes, but you're not answering the question.
I am. I mean, it's a long way around.
Oh, brother. How about this for a way of answering it? Were you a part of this team? Were you invited by Adobe or what?
I was invited by Mikkel, my friend. And I was blogging, I was videoing, and I was taking pictures.
Did you pay for this?
No, it was paid for by Tourism Tasmania.
Ah.
Because Tasmania...
That's what I was getting. I was just wondering how you managed to comp this baby out.
Here's the deal.
It's a freebie.
It was a freebie. Oh, yeah, God, I can't afford this. Qantas, Tourism Tasmania, Adobe, and O'Reilly were all sponsors. And the reason Tourism Tasmania wants to do this is... Do you even know what Tasmania is? No one does. They think Tasmanian Devil. They think Warner Brothers. It's this little island. It's a state in Australia. It's a little island off the coast of Australia. It's so obscure... That when Australia minted some coins, like for some event, you know, their bicentennial or whatever, they left us Tasmania off the coin.
Oh.
It's got the island of Australia, but there's no Tasmania. There are
prison island, wasn't it?
Yeah, Sydney was the first place they brought the colonists, and then Hobart, Tasmania was the second.
Mm-hmm. I liked your wombat picture.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Wombats.
Amazing.
Yeah, this is fuzzy little things. I love them.
Dude. And they're big.
Snuggle.
Yeah. I think stuffed animals were invented because of the wombat. Mm-hmm. Steve saw a wombat and said, ooh, I got to make a toy out of that. They got little piggy eyes, little piggy ears. They're about the size of a, you know, medium dog, but they're brown like bowling balls. And then they have armored butts.
Did you pet them?
No, they're very shy. In fact, we snuck out of the car. They said, don't close the door. I got down on the ground. I slowly approached them. All you could hear was like dusk, and all you could hear is as the three photographers were taking pictures. And then the wombat looks up, and he's got little piggy eyes. He can't see very well. He kind of looks at me and starts to come towards me. He's getting closer. So that's the picture you saw. He's getting closer. And I'm saying to the guide, these guys
going to do?
Do they bite? Are they
Have
dangerous?
You ever been to Nara in Japan?
No.
Where the deer?
Oh.
Oh my gosh. There's this town in Japan that has these deer that are considered sacred. And so they just let them like walk around the town. They don't do anything. They can't hurt them. And they just walk right up to you and start sniffing you and try to take any food that you have. And then they chase you. And it's actually kind of
a horror
terrifying.
Story. Yeah.
I mean, it's
do they have a real Lyme disease problem
like,
there?
Oh my gosh, get away from me.
They must.
I don't know. Maybe.
Well, I should tell my baboon anecdote about South Africa, but I'll skip.
Isn't there a place in Japan where the baboons bathe in the hot springs? I believe
is
there
that
is.
In Japan or is that in India?
I think it's Japan.
Okay.
We have digressed.
I think we're off the track again.
We're the weaponized baboons. I heard baboons are using weapons.
Oh,
hey,
yeah.
Go to the blog. I got a weaponized beetle on there.
They put lasers on its head, right?
Sharks with freaking laser beams.
Freaking laser beams. We got a sea bass. We got a sea bass. It's a mutated sea bass. They're really angry. RoboCop beetle portends weird future for electronic biointegration. Nice headline, John. Well done.
Yes.
That's good.
Yeah, wow. They got a beetle. They're rigging
it. It does. It has a laser on its head. Wow. Flight.
That's what
flight
happens.
Indicator LEDs, brain stimulation wire, flight control.
Keep looking at this thing as though it's a joke, but I can't find any evidence of it.
Lithium ion rechargeable battery. What are you going to plug the beetle into the socket?
Maybe he plugs himself into the socket.
Don't touch those beetles. They're recharging. All right. Poor Roger McGuinn thought he was coming on a serious show with real content, but apparently he's never listened to Twit.
No, I didn't.
You knew better, didn't you?
Come on.
I've listened to Twit a lot.
Roger, it's been great having you on. Folkden.com, McGuinn.com, McGuinn.com. I know you're performing. You were in Jupiter last night or the night before?
Yes, the night before. And got a new CD coming out called 22 Timeless Tracks. And it'll be out real soon. And it'll be up on our website, Amazon.com.
But not Mr. Spaceman.
No, Mr. Spaceman will not be on it.
What's on it, though?
Oh, it's 22. If the idea is it's 22 timeless tracks from the Folkden project, the four CD set that I sent you. If you don't have 5 hours to listen to 100 songs, there are 22 timeless tracks. That's a pitch.
Yeah, I've been meaning to tell you because there are four discs in that. That when I am on shuffle on my iPod, pretty much every third song is a Roger McGuinn song. I like it.
Thank you.
I like it.
I'm honored. I'm honored.
And then every second song is Veronica Belmont. On Mahalo Daily, and then she was on Buzz Out Loud, and now she's on Techzilla!
Hooray! I was like, yeah, I guess you didn't know about my burgeoning recording career.
Are you a burgeon?
No, burgeon.
Once again, I have to thank you all for broadening the horizon.
To be a Trekkie.
I was already a Trekkie.
Are you a singer?
Vision3.com/Techzilla. Hooray.
Shouldn't it be Trekker?
Trekker.
I knew someone Trekker was going to bring that up. Yeah, that's probably.
So, Veronica, a number of people have said this is the best. Techzilla with Veronica and Patrick is the best thing since the Screensavers. They love you on the show.
That is quite an honor.
I think
to
that
hear.
Was a very good move on your part. And I think that that's a must see now.
It's a great show. We're having a lot of fun with
it. Pisses the hell out of me. Revision3.com/.
What did she say?
Nothing. I'm just, you know, I'm very competitive. Techzilla. That'll be good for your Canadian audience.
Thank you.
Paul Thurrott, Windows Weekly. Make sure you listen every Friday. Almost said there. Every Friday we do a show. And, of course, Paul's site is winsupersite.com, the supersite for Windows. Great place to read about what's going on in Windows and coffee.
That's right.
I was
two great tastes that go together.
Yes,
I bought a brand new espresso machine.
Ooh,
that's coming tomorrow.
What kind did you get?
Yeah, Rancilio Silvia.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Mm. Yeah, and we got a Rocky grinder also.
That's a burr grinder, of course.
Yes, conical burr.
Conical burr. Why did you make that sound, Pat?
I'm a believer that the only espresso machine you should own is a Pavoni, hand pull. You know, old fashioned. God,
I've got to do this week in coffee.
That would be great. Yep.
I had so much coffee yesterday that I actually literally did not sleep last night.
That's going to be me starting tomorrow.
Yeah. Be careful. Those things are deadly.
I got to learn how to use it.
Do you have
correctly.
A Pavoni, John?
I have actually. It sounds ridiculous, but I have a Pavoni here. I have a Pavoni up in Washington. My son has a Pavoni, and we have to give somebody a gift of a Pavoni.
All the time.
Pretty much.
Wow. So you're really committed. Now, what kind of coffee do you use?
I use actually Grafeo's coffee out of San Rafael in San Francisco. Grafeo. It's a specialized guy who's been doing the same blend since the 30s. He's got these old contracts. And they actually have a Pavoni grinder there specifically for the Pavoni.
Oh, wow.
And they'll you say, I need it for the Pavoni, and they grind it up. And so you have a perfect grind. You don't have to go through all the rigmarole.
And, of course, you only buy it in 3-ounce lots so that you have fresh.
No, you're buying a big bag and you put it in the freezer. It stays for as long as you want it to. I mean, that's the way to go.
I used to, when I lived in North Beach, I would go to Grafeo just to go in there and smell it. They have the great old roasters, and yeah, that's the only coffee. You know, I learned to pull espressos at Cafe Trieste in the North Beach.
Oh, the best.
Really?
It was because we were doing the site on MSNBC. Remember that? And we had a coffee bar. Soledad O'Brien would sit at the coffee bar. I was the virtual reality character who was a barista. And we had a machine that Trieste lent us. But they said, you may not have the machine unless you send somebody from your show to Cafe Trieste to learn how to use it. So I said, I'll do that. And, you know, they have that great lady. I can't remember her name, the Italian lady there. She speaks very little English. She still doesn't. And she taught me how to do it with hand gestures and stuff. And then I've got it down. And she said, OK, you're on. And she left. And I'm like, OK,
you're working there.
I'm working there. And guy comes up and says, you don't really work here, do you? I said, no. Can you tell? But it was that, I think in some ways that may be one of the best gigs I ever had. An afternoon pulling coffees at a Cafe Trieste.
Oh, this was before.
For Soledad. No, that. And then of course I pulled Soledad's lever. I worked with her.
I think we've gone too far with this type of material.
It's burgeoning.
I feel sullied.
I feel silly. Thank you all for being here. It really was fun. This is a great way to begin our third year of This Week in Tech. TWiT Live begins, you know, sometime this week. Certainly the next TWiT will be video live. You go to twitlive.tv to watch those video streams. All of this is costing a huge amount of money, and now that we've lost Audible as a sponsor, I'd encourage you to go to twit.tv because, you know, I got my pockets hanging out and press that donate button. All I ask, $2 a month, less than one Cafe Trieste espresso. $2 a month keeps us running, pays Dane's salary. We don't have a Pavoni. We can't afford one. It's percolator coffee for us, but we're taking care of your money. TWIT.TV. That's the site for the audio podcasts, and the new video streaming will be at twitlive.tv. And Guy, John, are you available next week? And Veronica and
I got to go to Korea.
I'm
not sure whether I can make that particular. I'm going to try.
Well, say hi to the Asians
if you subscribe to my Twitter feed, the Real Dvorak, I'll let you know.
Damn.
Yes, I'll try to come.
Will you? That'd be great.
Stands.
Kevin Rose will be there.
Would it have anything to do with getting that meal up at that?
Better than that. I'm going to have it catered by the finest restaurant in town. We're going to have fantastic wine.
Teach me how to get an espresso shot.
We will get rent a Pavoni just for the occasion. But really, frankly, I think you should drink the wine. We're in Sonoma County. This is good wine here. Ah. Roger, of course, you're invited. Paul, you're invited too. If you want to come out, I'm going to try to get Patrick to come up. It will be our third anniversary party, and it'll be streamed live. Starting probably around 5 p.m. Eastern time on twitlive.tv next Sunday. Roger, Veronica, Paul. Oh, I should give out your Twitter addresses since we've already kind of.
Roger McGuinn.
Roger McGuinn with two N's.
One word.
One word. Yeah. Twitter.com/Roger McGuinn. Veronica was smart. She scored Veronica.
Yeah.
Indeed.
No Belmont needed. She's like Cher.
One word name.
Cool. You know, I actually have Leo. I was Leo. But then I thought nobody would be able to find me, so I put my whole name. Paul Thurrott, who is Twitter-free since 1972.
Actually, I was on Twitter for a while. I was just looking at it. I used it very briefly, but apparently they've...
Don't start up again.
Blown me away.
Don't start up again.
It would have been probably 3 days worth of content from about a year ago.
The Dvorak is the real Dvorak. I'm Leo Laporte, but I don't really need any more followers. I'm already at 22,000. I can stop now. Actually, I'd like to beat Barack.
You can do it. After the election, you'll beat him.
The trend is my friend. I'm actually gaining on Barack about 10 or 20 people a day. But at that rate, it's going to take me like 6 months. Mm-hmm. And Veronica, you're in the top 10.
I'm number 9 now.
Number 9. We're going to get Roger up there. Dvorak's already got 6,000 followers in 1 week, so obviously the graph is in his favor.
Yeah, it's going flat now after doing this show.
The Asians love him.
I was going to say, I think you're going to be huge in Asia.
Another TWiT. Yeah.
And again.
Is in the can. That was Dylan in his Harlequin days. He had white makeup, right, and a hat.
Yeah, well, I started the makeup. They had some makeup girls, and they put it on me first. And,
you're kidding.
Yeah, and I came off. It wasn't full white face. It was just like eyeshadow and like weird stuff, you know, glitter makeup and stuff. And I came off stage, and Dylan, I said, boy, the audience was really good tonight. And he said, yeah, it's that makeup. That's why you're doing so good.
And so he started using it.
And then he started using it, yeah.
That's a great story. I had no idea. I thought it was just so you could see him in those stadiums.
Well, and then he wore it on Halloween night. Right. With a, right. He had a clear plastic mask over the white face.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Doing the twit, baby. Doing the twit. All right. Doing the twit, baby. Doing the twit. All right. Doing the twit, baby. Doing the twit. All right. Doing the twit, baby.